الله عليه وسلم: من خاف أدلج ومن أدلج بلغ المنزلة، ألا إن سلعة الله غالية، ألا إن سلعة الله الجنة، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, before the inception of the universe, there was nothing. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He decided to create the universe. And the Quran tells us, أَوَلَمْ يَرَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا أَنَّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ كَانَتَا رَتْقًا فَفَتَقْنَاهُمَا. From a single dot, He opened up the whole universe. And the amount of time it took to cool down was 6 days of the days of Barzakh, of the Akhirah, which is 6,000 years according to the human calculation of how many years one. And after He created the whole universe, He made it, He put it into the system, in the creation of the universe, He put it in the creation that all the creation needs to worship Allah and praise Allah. Every single creation on the whole universe. He put it in the, it was like embedded in the universe, in this, everything which He created, that they would praise Allah. This is what the Quran tells us, تُسَبِّحُ لَهُ السَّمَاوَاتُ السَّبْعُ وَالْأَرْضُ وَمَنْ فِيهِنَّ. Every single creation, every single thing which He created, they praise Allah, they worship Allah. لَهُ السَّمَاوَاتُ السَّبْعُ وَالْأَرْضُ وَمَنْ فِيهِنَّ. And what is in between? Everything. سَبَّحَ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. What's between the heavens and between the earth, they all praise Allah. All worship Allah. In other words, He tells us, وَإِن مِّن شَيْءٍ إِلَّا يُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدٍ وَلَكِنْ لَا تَفْقَهُونَ تَسْبِيحَهُمْ. That every single thing, they worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but you do not understand what they are doing. You know, it's not open choice, but every single thing according to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's book, Quran, they all are worshipping and praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Besides the human being who has the choice, none of the creation of Allah has no choice. Iblis and Shaitan has been created, is full of shirk. And the rest of the creation, they do not have the choice to disobey Allah. They can't. إن ربكم الله الذي خلق السماوات والأرض في ستة أيام ثم استوى على العرش. Allah says, your Lord, He created the whole universe. مسخرات بين أمرين. ألا له الخلق والأمر. They all subdued to Allah سبحانه وتعالى. They cannot disobey Allah. They don't have the capacity or the capability or the desire to disobey Allah. The sun cannot say, I don't feel like rotating, and the earth cannot say, I don't feel like, you know, revolving, I don't feel like rotating. The stars and the moons, they cannot say that, you know, today I won't take a break, I'll take some vacation and then I'll come. There's nothing like this. He created everything in equilibrium, and they all have to do what they are told. This is what the universe is doing right now. أَلَمْ تَرَ أَنَّ اللَّهِ يَسْجُدُ لَهُ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَالشَّمْسُ وَالْقَمَرُ وَالنُّجُومُ وَالْجِبَالُ وَالشَّجَرُ وَالدَّوَابُ وَكَثِيرٌ مِنَ النَّاسِ. Quran tells us, have you not seen, أَلَمْ تَرَ أَنَّ اللَّهِ يَسْجُدُ لَهُ the whole prospect to Allah, مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ, what's between the heavens and between the earth, وَالشَّمْسُ وَالْقَمَرُ and the moon and the stars, the sun, وَالنُّجُومُ وَالْجِبَالُ and the mountains, وَالشَّجَرُ وَالْدَوَابُ and all the trees, and all the animals, وَكَثِيرٌ مِنَ النَّاسِ and a lot of creation, and a lot of human beings, وَكَثِيرٌ حَقَّ عَلَيْهِ الْعَذَابُ and a lot of them, they are to be punished. Why he tells us? Because those who worship Allah and prostrate Allah, Allah elevates them. And those who decides not to disobey, who decides to disobey Allah, and decides not to submit themselves to Allah. So Quran says, وَكَثِيرٌ حَقَّ عَلَيْهِ الْعَذَابُ. It is their right to be punished. Allah will punish them. Those who disobey Allah, they have to be punished. This is what the Quran says. كَثِيرٌ حَقَّ عَلَيْهِ الْعَذَابُ. Because those who obey Allah, they would be rewarded. And those who disobey Allah, it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says it's their right then to be punished. Then the Quran then says, وَمَنْ يُهِنِ اللَّهُ فَمَا لَهُ مِنْ مُكْرِمٍ. And the one who Allah decides to disgrace, nobody can give them respect and honor. If it's in the heavens decided that this nation or this group of people or these individuals, if these are the ones who has been decided to be punished, I mean who has been decided to be disgraced. So Allah says nobody can give him respect and honor. It's impossible. Inna Allah yaf'alu ma yasha. Allah is the one who does what he wills. So Allah created this whole universe in this manner. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what he does is this, after the creation of the universe and he put it into the system, the job of the creation is something else. Worship is not their priority. Like the moon, the job of the moon is to rise. And the job of the moon is to go around the earth. And as the days progress, it will become from a crescent to a full moon. And then it will start going down till it becomes a crescent again. That's the job of the moon. The job of the sun is to rise every single day for millions of years, and it will keep on doing. Only Allah knows best how long it will do. This is their job. And the rest of the creation also, they have their responsibilities. The job of the trees to grow and bear fruits. And the job of the water is to flow and provide to the humanity and to the animals something to drink. With this, what is their responsibility? They also worship Allah. So they have dual responsibilities. All the creation of Allah. This is what the Quran tells us. With their responsibilities, they are worshipping Allah also. Then he created certain creation only for praising and worshipping Allah. This is their only sole responsibility. These are called angels. Allah created them for ruh, and their only responsibility is to worship Allah. It comes in the hadith of Muslim al-Ahmad. أطف السماء وحق لها أن تحيط. The sky is creaking, it needs to creak. ليس فيها موضع أربعة أصابع. There is not enough space equal to four finger span. إلا وفيه ملك قائما أو راكعا أو ساجدا يعبد الله سبحانه وتعالى. That there is not even this much space left on the whole heaven in which there is angels standing. أو راكع in the ركوع أو ساجدا he's in the سجدة. He will stay in the قومة till the day of judgment. He will be in the ركوع the second one till the day of judgment. The one who is in سجدة, he will be in the سجدة till the day of judgment. This is how they are doing. Then the Quran goes on to say, لا يعني it's not that they worship and sometimes they get tired so they take a break, nothing. يسبحون الليل والنهار لا يفطرون. They're worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala morning and evening, constant, they don't get tired. Okay, this is what they do. Then, Quran goes on to say, one of other characteristics which these angels have, لا يعصون الله ما أمرهم. What Allah tells them they do exactly the way they're told. وَيَفْعَلُونَ مَا يُؤْمَرُونَ. And they do exactly the way they are told. The first time in the creation of the humanity, the angels came in Badr. Before that, the angels never came. This was the first time they came in the Badr. So when they came, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَلَقَدْ نَصَرَكُمُ اللَّهُ بِبَدْرٍ وَأَنْتُمْ أَذِلَّةٌ. In the Badr, you know, you were in a very tight spot, so Allah started sending down the angels. Then he goes, how many angels he sent? خَمْسَةِ آلَافٍ مِنَ الْمَلَائِكَةِ الْمُسَوِّمِينَ. I sent down 5,000 angels. Allah sent down 5,000 angels in Badr. And the angels, their energy and their power is so powerful that human beings can't even imagine their power. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down 5,000. Quran tells us, وَمَا جَعَلَكُمْ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بُشْرَى لَكُمْ. Allah sent down these angels just to make you feel comfortable, because the number might make you feel good. If Allah says, I'm sending down one on the kuffar, there were 1,000 and the Muslims were 313. So they would see what this one angel can do. You know, this human being's mind and logic is very limited. This is how they might think. So Allah said, because this is what you might think, so I sent down 5,000. One was enough. So they came down. When they came down, so they asked Allah, what do we need to do? We're standing. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to them, فَضْرِبُوا فَوْقَ الْعَنَاقِ وَضْرِبُوا مِنْهُمْ كُلَّ بَنَاقٍ. You hit them on their hands. Just like this. فَضْرِبُوا فَوْقَ الْعَنَاقِ وَضْرِبُوا مِنْهُمْ كُلَّ بَنَاقٍ. And on their fingers and on their necks, you hit them. So the angels, Allah said, these many you have to hit. 70 you have to hit. They're all good. In an instant, they hear it. They did not make mistakes. And they did not make any wrong decisions. There was nothing like this. Exactly the way they were told it, exactly. So the angels, they don't disobey Allah. And they do exactly the way they are told. So this is the creation of Allah. The whole creation and the angels. Allah said to these angels, إِنِّي جَعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً. I want to make a khalifa. I want to make my ambassador. قالوا أتجعل فيها من يفسد فيها ويسفك الدماء. Oh Allah, how do you want to, why you want to make a creation who's going to create fitnah and fasad? Why do you make it? Now ulama, they say something about this ayah. They say, angels, Allah is saying they don't disobey Allah. And they don't go against Allah's orders. They cannot even think to go against Allah's orders. So the question comes, why did they ask Allah this question? They should have said yes, that's it, done. Why did they put up this question in front of Allah? أَتَجْعَلُ فِيهَا مَنْ يُفْسِدُ فِيهَا وَيَسْفِكُ الدِّمَاء. Why you created somebody who is, why you create some people who are going to shed blood and fight among each other? There's going to create mischiefs in the earth. Why not create like this? Do the angels, the question comes, do the angels have the right to ask this question to Allah? Can they ask them? Can the angels have the authority or the jurisdiction to ask Allah these questions? Why you create this? It's not their fault. They're not supposed to even ask this question. Why did they ask this question? Now, what the answer to this question is that the angels, it's true that they don't make any mistakes and everything, but tafsir tells us they have one teacher. They say you have to be very careful who the teacher is. A lot of parents are also saying, before I continue what I want to say, I'll say one thing. Why the children disobey the parents? What is the thing which makes them rebellious?
makes them disobey their elders. What is the reason?
If you ponder in the Quran, three things are there which makes them like this. Three things. Number one is the parents. Quran says, وَكَانَ أَبُوهُمَا صَالِحًا فَأَرَادَ رَبُّكَ أَنْ يَبْلُغَا أَشُدَّهُمَا وَيَسْتَخْرِجَا كَنْزَهُمَا رَحْمَةً مِنْ رَبِّكَ. The parents, if they are pious, children will be pious. If they are not, then the effects of their bad deeds comes on the children. That's why the tafsir of this ayah, the Quran tells us, the Kathir tells us, the seventh grandfather of the mother's side was pious. Because of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved the children of this, of the story of Surah Kahf. The first thing is, that's why Muhammad ibn Sirin used to say that Aziz Rufis wants his son said, I want to go on a journey. So he said to his companions, Aziz Rufis Salati, I'm going to increase my salat, hatta Allah yahfaz ibni, so that Allah can save my son. So the first thing which makes the children pious is the actions of the parents, the father and the mother, how their actions are. That is going to make them pious. Second thing, what makes them rebellious or pious? Because this is inside the heart. But these are the external factors which affects the children and the elders also, of course. So the second thing is the teachers. Who are your children's teachers? If they are pious, the children will become pious. And the teacher does not have no idea who Allah is, or who is Rasulullah, has no idea, so what do you expect? What do you expect? So the second, the teachers. That's why it comes in hadith, تَعَلَّمُ الدِّينَ وَانْظُرُوا لِمَنْ تَعَلَّمُونَ مِنْهُ. Learn the deen. And also, this is not talking about the worldly knowledge. Hadith is saying to us the Islamic knowledge. This is what the hadith is talking about. Forget about the regular classes, regular studies. It's not, the hadith is not talking about it. The hadith is talking about Islamic knowledge. So what is it saying? تَعَلَّمُوا دِينَ. Learn the deen. وَانْظُرُوا لِمَنْ تَعَلَّمُونَ مِنْهُ. And make sure who you are learning from. Even the deen, you have to be careful who you learn from. Oh, this person is teaching that today everybody is having these iPhones and these kind of gadgets. I'll listen to him. If that person who is teaching, it's only over here and not here, this is not going to, in fact, if he has shaitan inside him and he's talking good, the satanic effects will come to that individual. That's the Quran tells us, وَلَا تُطَعْ مَنْ أَغْفَلْنَا قَلْبَهُ عَنْ ذِكْرِنَا وَاتَّبَعَ هَوَاهُ وَكَانَ أَمْرُهُ فُرَطًا. Don't follow these people. وَلَا تُطَعْ وَفَرْدًا مَنْ أَغْفَلْنَا قَلْبَهُ عَنْ ذِكْرِنَا. The one whose heart, Allah is not in his heart. He does not know who Allah is. Only Allah and Rasul is only on his tongue. Inside the heart is something else. Inside the heart, what he has inside the heart, Quran says, أَفَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَاهَهُ هَوَى. His Allah or his ilah or his Lord is not Allah, it's his desires. Inside his heart, he is a Rabb, and his sustainer, and his cherisher, and his Lord is not Allah. It is his desires. This is what the Quran is saying. أَفَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَاهَهُ هَوَاهُ وَأَضَلَّهُ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ عِلْمٍ. And this individual is astray. He is on the wrong track. He has gone off track. وَأَضَلَّهُ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ عِلْمٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has misguided him. even though he has the knowledge. Like sometimes people say, well, you have to have the knowledge before you do takbir. Like somebody was saying. Before he has, Allah is saying before the year, he has the knowledge and he is getting misguided. Well, because of the knowledge, you need to have the Allah's nur before you have everything. وَلَا تُطِعْ مَنْ أَغْفَلْنَا قَلْبَهُ عَنْ ذِكْرِنَا. Ayat is saying Surah Kaf. And in the 19th Surah Shu'ara, Allah is saying, Allah is clarifying the things. He might have the knowledge, but he has no connection with Allah. Because his Lord is his desires. مَنْ أَغْفَلْنَا قَلْبَهُ عَنْ ذِكْرِنَا وَاتَّبَعَهَا. So this is the Surah Kaf. And this is in the Shu'ara, he's saying, أَفَرَأَيْتَ. Have you seen that individual, مَنْ اتَّخَذَ إِلَهَهُ, his Lord, his desires. He follows what his desires is. وَأَضَلَّهُ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ عِلْمٍ. And because of this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has misguided him on the knowledge which he has. He will use the knowledge to justify his wrong actions. The knowledge is not out there to take him or to take the people towards Allah. He will use this knowledge to misguide the people because they don't know. And he will use the knowledge to fulfill his desires, justifying the bad actions which he is doing. So when he does like this, what happens? وَخَتَمَ عَلَىٰ قَلْبِهِ وَخَتَمَ عَلَىٰ سَمْعِهِ وَقَلْبِهِ وَجَعَلَ عَلَىٰ بَصَرِهِ غِشَاوَةً وَخَتَمَ عَلَىٰ سَمْعِهِ. Allah stamped, خَتَمَ عَلَىٰ سَمْعِهِ, stamped his ears. And the ears are stamped. Now brothers, nothing can go inside the ear. For example, if you put, earplugs, can anything go inside? Allah says, I put earplugs inside his ears. Quran is saying, Allah says, I put the earplugs. He cannot hear it. That's the reason the Qawm Nuh, when he used to invite them, قَالَ رَبِّ إِنِّي دَعَوْتُ قَوْمِ لَيْلًا وَنَهَارًا فَلَمْ يَزِدْهُمْ دُعَائِي إِلَّا فِرَارًا وَإِنِّي كُلَّمَا دَعَوْتُهُمْ لِتَغْفِرَ لَهُمْ. I used to call them. What they used to do? جَعَلُوا أَصَابِعَهُمْ فِي آذَانِهِمْ. They used to put their fingers inside their ears. وَاسْتَغْشَوْا ثِيَابَهُمْ وَأَصَرُّوا وَاسْتَكْبَرُوا اسْتِكْبَارًا. Don't act arrogantly. They're born asrar. وَاسْتَكْبَرُوا اسْتِكْبَارًا means their body language was arrogant. They had an arrogance towards listening to the words of Allah. That is the reason, once or so, even learning the deen also has a certain way of sitting. It comes up in the Imam Nawawi. He says, Al-Wa'id Nawawiyya. Sayyidina Umar is the Rafi of the Hadith. He says, Kunna jalis and kunna inda Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We're sitting with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. إِذْدَخَلَ عَلَيْنَا رَجُلٌ. A man came in. شَدِيد بَيَاضُ الثِّيَابِ. Very white cloth. وَشَدِيد سَوَادِ الشَّعْرِ. He had very pitch black hair. لَا يُرَى عَلِيْهِ أَثَرُ السَّفَرِ. It did not look like he was a traveler. وَلَا يَعْرِفُهُ مِنَّا أَحَدٌ. And none of us knew him. فَأَسْنَدَ رُكُبَتَيْهِ إِلَى رُكْبَتَيْهِ وَوَضَعَ يَدَيْهِ عَلَىٰ فَخِذَيْهِ. So he came and he sat, like we said in the At-Tahiyyat, and he put his hand like this. Then he said, مَنْ إِسْلَامُ مَنْ إِيمَانِ. He kept on asking these questions. It was actually Jibreel al-Islam. Then he left. So in the end, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no, Jibreel. You know who he was? This was Jibreel. أَتَاكُمْ لِيُعَلِّمَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ. He came to teach you your religion, how you need to learn from, how you need to learn the deen. He came to taught you the manners and the etiquettes to learn the deen. So these people of Qawm Nuh, they had this body language of arrogance. وَأَصَرُوا وَاسْتَكْبَرُوا اسْتِكْبَارًا. This is what they were arrogant about. So Quran is saying when this person's heart is devoid, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he closes his ears. خَتَمَ عَلَىٰ سَمْعِهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that even the words would not enter into his ear. This ear plugs from Allah. So Allah decided for him, it's because of his actions. You know, everything has a reaction. For example, A person eats a lot of sweet and doesn't do exercise, so the doctors, they say that this person will end up having diabetes after a certain age. So you said, oh, you know, why am I having diabetes? It's not because the doctors decided to give you diabetes. It is the way what you did with your life. That's the reason you got the diabetes. You cannot blame the doctor. So similarly, it's not that Allah closed his ear, it's because of his actions which he did, which was a result of that action. Khatam ala sam'i, Allah closed his ears, wa qalbi, and Allah stamped his heart. Then the Quran says, فَمَنْ يَهْدِيهِ مِنْ بَعْدِ اللَّهِ, who is going to guide him? Allah is misguided. So when a person reaches that level, so after that, then no good can enter into that individual. So I was saying, the previous one I was mentioning, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which he says that you will not learn the deen from any For three are the reasons for which people get on the wrong track. They get astray. There are three asbab, three means, three reasons. Number one, because of the parents. Either they take wrong decisions, or they don't have iman inside their hearts, or the Islam on their bodies. So they don't have the ability to transfer it to their children. No iman inside the heart, or no Islam in the outside of the body. So they cannot transfer. And when they see their children doing evil things, so they try to fix them, and it doesn't work, because you know, you cannot tell to your kids, you know, you be good, but I'm going to be the way I am. I remember when I used to live in New York, I used to teach some kids. So the father came to me and I said to his father that, the father said to him that you need to make sure that you teach my kid. And then he said, take him in the environment of Islam. Take him to the Khuruj. Take him, put him in the environment of Muslim. So I said to him, I said, let's go. So he said that, you know, I do not want to go. So I said, why do you want to go? He said that, you know, my father is not going, I don't want to go. So I said to his father, that, you know, you also should do this. I have no time. So you cannot say that this is good for you, my son, but not good for me. So the first thing is this, the parents have to be the example. Parents' life. And you have to give time to the kids. I said, when you come home, please shut down your cell phones. Don't answer the cell phone inside the house. A lot of time, you know, people say, you know, my kids are addicted to the cell phones, to the games. Because the parents are on the phone. The mother is also constantly on the phone. So the baby also thinks that, you know, this is for the ain. If I don't be on the phone, then, you know, I'm not going to go astray. So the baby and the children, they want to imitate the elders. They went to one house and I was over there, and one of the, you know, I was amazed that the kids, he said, they have no idea about the phones or anything like that. So I asked them, how is that? Because when we come home, we put our phones, you know, on the top, we, you know, shut it down, we don't open it. But we go outside, then we use it. So the kids have no desire to watch YouTube or to play the games. Because the parent, the father and the mother, they don't use it. The kids don't have it. And the kids don't have the desire to follow it. And then the father is always on the phone. He's watching news and clips, WhatsApp, everything. And then the kids are doing the same thing. He gets angry. So this doesn't work. The dual personality. That it's good for me, but not good for you. It doesn't work like that. So the first thing, that parents have to be on the right track. That's the reason when Rasulullah came to Makkah to Mukarramah and he started doing the work of Da'wah Allah. They had problems among the children, they had the problems among the women, they had the problems among the men. Rasulullah focused on the men. Because if the deen comes into the men, you know, I hope, I don't know nobody feels offended, but please forgive me if I'm saying it, but these are the facts. Today my neighbor is in a lot of times in Islamic schools, like coming from a big city. Yours is a small city compared to the city which I came from. We have numerous schools, Islamic schools. And we have these Islamic schools, and we have these people, these kids, you know, they have these Islamic schools, I've been there for like 20 years, 30 years, a long time. And you have these kids who graduated from the Islamic schools. And the parents, but the kids, you know, they have issues. So they were asking me, you know, what is the issue? Why the kids are still? Because my dear brothers, if I put my son in Islamic school, and say I want my son to be good, which is a very correct emotion, which is very good. And to think that's the solution, it's not going to work like that. A person says, I want my son to be good, but my life will not change. So he has, you know, we have a lot of madaris actually. We have madaris and we have Islamic schools also. So a lot of times these teachers, they complain to me, and they run, who are running Islamic schools. They said that, you know, we have a big issue, big problem. What is the problem? We send our kids to the, you know, we bring them over here into the Islamic environment in the school. We teach them Quran, we teach them Hadith. But when they go home, their lifestyle is different. Madrasa lifestyle is different. So if I'm saying that I want my children to become pious, but my lifestyle is not changing, and I want my children to become pious, while the child is small, it might have some effect. But when it grows up, they see the effects. If I want my son to be pious, then the husband has to be pious also. The father has to be pious. He needs to change his life. And the mother needs to change her life. If you are serious in making sure that the children become pious, otherwise don't fool yourself. A lot of kids who have been to the Islamic schools and to these madaris, one of my friends who has Islamic madaris, a very big one, he says, I give them only 1 week. He says, Ek hafte kwari badata rukha. This is a father. We were saying to him, after 1 week, when you put them to the college, he's gone. How? So if we are serious in making sure, a lot of people in America over here, we have a lot of issues about making sure. So first thing I was saying, three reasons which makes a person not follow the deen. First reason are the parents. It's all from Quran. The first is from the parents. So the father needs to change. Actually, one more thing before we go further. Father says that, you know, I'm changed. You know, I made 5 times salat. I'm pious man. I made 5 times salat. And I'm good. The first thing is what the parents are saying. Father needs to change, and I'll tell you what he needs to change into. Second thing, the son, the mother needs to change. The mother is following her desires, following the way she thinks is correct, and she's expecting the children to become Junaid Baghdadi or Qadir al-Qasiyah. It doesn't work like this, my dear respected brothers and sisters who are listening also. The father and mother have to be serious, and they have to be genuine in making sure that the children are wise. So the father needs to change and the mother needs to change. Both things. What are the changes which the father needs to have? And what are the changes which the mother needs to have to make sure that they're on the right track? The father makes sure that you make halal money. Please be careful, because if you are feeding the children haram food, then no matter of putting them into the Islamic madrasa will not fix them up. You have to be very clear on this. If the father is making mushtabeh or haram money, that same food he's putting into the children, they will not be pious. So make sure that don't feed them haram. So make sure that the meat which you eat is correct. And the second thing is, two things you need to make sure. The first, the food has to be pure. And the second thing is, your source of income has to be correct also. Two things. This is for the father. With two things. And there's a third thing also for the father. The third thing is this, don't set yourself to your work. Oh, I'm working 18 hours, 16 hours a day. I have no time for my kids. Three things the father has to make sure. How he makes money, when he buys the groceries and everything, which is halal. And the third thing is this, oh, because brother, you know, I'm busy. I've rolled up my sleeves and I need to work hard. And I need to keep on. Thinking by providing the materialistic things, you will get your children's love. This is not correct. You cannot buy love through money. Give them time. Don't buy them, you know, I want to buy them cars, high expensive cell phones or games, and then you think that you need to get them love by, you know, selling these things. That's why I've seen people who live in small houses, they have more love among each other. You know, back home, you know, we used to see people who grew up in poverty. You know, in Chicago, it was a family, there used to 17 people living in one bedroom house. 17 people. One bedroom. Father, mother, and kids, and their relatives. They said that we grew up like this, you know. The means were very meager. We had no means. So what happened then when they grew up, they said that now all of these kids, they all are well off now, mashallah, has blessed them with a lot of things. They have, you know, big mansions, a big house, everything. They said, but the love among each other we have, with our parents, with our brothers and sisters, you know, the jhaan the neighbors will give you. That we will give our lives for each other. Then he was saying that, you know, in this guy, all of them are all brothers, the husbands, the brothers, sisters, all of them. He said, now I'm living in a $1 million mansion. I have four or five kids, each of them have their own house. You see, if I go and sit in my daughter's room for some time, she said, excuse me, Dad, I need my personal space. I have for the first time something called personal space. There's something that's personal space. This is the daughter's angel, the father was provided her with so much amenities and luxuries which this person couldn't even imagine when he was growing up. So this materialism, what it has brought him. This is an example. There are thousands and thousands of examples. You can go and dig yourself and find out what I'm saying, right or wrong. You can check out yourself. So give them time. By having big mansions and luxuries, it's not even buy the love from them. When they are together, then the muhabbat comes and the love comes. They're used to the things, they're not used to the humans. That's why they want to, everybody wants to, you know, alone. You know, they sit on the table for the food, each one has their own phone and they're looking at it. Everybody's mashallah. The father is looking, mother, wife is looking, husband, kids, everybody's on the phone. Everybody. So my dear respect, these are the facts. So the kids and the humans are more attached with the machines than they're attached with the humans. Attachment with the humanity has deteriorated. And attachment with the so where will be love? How much love will be there? I remember, you know, I grew up in Dubai, actually. But, you know, we used to go to Pakistan, you know. And then we used to go and come. So I remember when we were kids, when somebody used to travel, the whole family would come to the airport to see him off. Yeah? That's it, huh? Okay, put a down on the top. Somebody is coming, the whole village would come to greet him. Now when somebody comes, dad gets a coming over here. It's okay. Uber is fine. In fact, the dad doesn't have that time, doesn't even call his son. He just takes the Uber and comes home happy. It will be Dorothy. There was also a time when the love was there. Money was not there, but the love was there. Muhammad was there. Yes, we came over here, we got beautiful houses, but we lost love on the way. I'm not talking about, I want to talk something else, but Allah decided to put into our mind these things. You know, we have, you know, if you look at our lives, we have more attachment with the things than with the humans. And in fact, because of our lack of understanding, we think that we can, you know, make our kids happy by providing with more meaning, with more things, that they will become more happy. You know, even in my own family, I look at it, they cry, you know, the father, each time he brings a new laptop, a new iPad, a new these things. And he says, at the time, when I was sitting, it's my relatives' house, I'm sitting in my relatives. They come for the food, you know, everybody is busy. You know, she's going and calling the kids. They want to come out of the, everybody's busy with their games and their laptops and their things. So my dear respected brothers, this materialism has given us these things. I'm not talking Quran, just stating the facts which we are living right now. So what makes the children, three things the Quran tells us. The first is the parents. So we have to make sure that our money is halal. Second thing is this, you know, don't spend your hours and hours in the dunya. Spend time with your children. Spend time with your wife. Sit and talk with them. Teach them what Allah wants, what the Rasul wants. It's not that just, you know, I'm buying things, you know, having bigger house and these things. And the people, they complain, well, my kids are complaining, or my wife is complaining, you know, I want to do like that, you know, but my wife is not listening, you look at it. Or my son is not listening. We'll come to that why they are not listening. Three things. This is the first reason that children go off the track, even the elders also, because of the parents. And now, you know, it's a very detailed topic, I won't take much of your time, I'll just try to finish this up quickly. This is the first thing. Second thing, what destroys the children is the deen, it's the teachers. That's why I was actually speaking. That he says, تَعَلَّمُ الدِّينَ. Learn the deen. And Allah's Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam is telling us about the deen. He's not speaking about the secular studies. He's even saying, even the deen, you watch who you learn from. Otherwise, if you learn the deen from somebody who does not have the rule of Allah inside his heart, you know what he's going to do? Everything you go and tell him, it's okay, it's halal, brother. Allah has made things easy. It's halal, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay. And look, it's what the Quran. Wrong reference to context is going to provide you. And it's okay, brother, you know. And people look, these kind of scholars who makes everything halal, everything correct, everything what you're doing is right. That's why, with the due respect, I say, if you want to get the fatwa from the pious mufti. And with due respect, look in his life. Does he believe in what he speaks? Or if there's only the talks are there in his life, is opposite of what he's talking. How much reality of what he speaks is in his life? Check his life before asking him. Don't you make sure that when you go to the doctor, go read the reviews? You want to make sure that the doctor is correct. For example, if this doctor is mashallah, you know, with due respect to all the doctors, you know, and, like one of my sheikhs, his name was Maulana Salim Khasa Rahmatul Alayh, he used to say, a kamyab doctor, a qabrastan abad karke banta hai. Kamyab doctor, a qabrastan abad karte hai, banta hai. I don't know how to do it. This is what he used to say. A successful doctor becomes when he populates one cemetery. He's checking it out. Not everybody is like this. But I'm saying that we have to be very careful who we go go to the doctor. Isn't it true? You check out when he's disturbed. If he's doing mistakes, the government does not let him practice. They cancel his board certificate. They don't let him practice. Similarly, this is about your akhirah and dunya also. So don't go for somebody who's going to give you the fatwa the way you want. Usse masla poochho jo aapse mutasir nahi hai. Ask the masla from somebody who's not impressed by you. If the one who is impressed by you, he will have hesitation saying you the truth on your face. And that could destroy you if you don't follow Islam correctly. You will be the one who will be lost, not him or anybody else. If you take wrong medication, who is the doctor of the bodies? If he used the wrong medication, a lot of people die. Imagine if you're taking wrong medication about the akhirah. Dunya akhirah barbaad hoti hai. Dunya akhirah, both of them are finished. So the second thing, and that's why Imam Malik rahmatullah says, taraktu sab'ina min al-ulama. I left 70 of the scholars. If each one of them would have been made the department, if they would have been made the secretary of the government, they would not have removed one single cent from this. This is how they were cautious. But I did not learn the deen from them. In Arabic, 70 means for katha. Katha means for, can we katha too? For a lot of things, it means a lot actually. In Arabic, 70 means a lot. Or it could also mean 70 number. So he's saying that I did not take the deen from these scholars who they were so pious that even if they would have been made the secretary of the treasury, they would have not displaced any funds. But I did not even learn the deen from them also. This is how he was cautious in where he was learning the deen from. This is a hadith which says, this is the Tahir that says, YouTube is a new one. The deen of all of you, if I feel like on the YouTube, I listen. Oh, brothers, you have to check this nice also. There are hadiths which tells us who you need to follow, who you should look for. This is the second thing which destroys. So imagine if you're putting your children to the wrong teachers, what will happen to them? Kya hoga, sir? Deen ke liye ki sakti hai, aur ab duniya padha rahe hain, to ab in bachon ka kya hoga? In the deen, you are so, the hadith is so cautious and careful in telling us to make sure who we select the correct teachers. So imagine you are learning the secular studies, so what will happen if you have the wrong teachers? Second thing, this also destroys the deen of the kid, all the people. Second thing. And then the third thing, my dear brothers, is the environment. The environment. Who you hang out with, who you rub your elbows with, who you sit with, who you spend your time with, this is how you become. That's the reason Quran tells us, اِتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَكُنُوا مَا الصَّالِحِينَ. Require taqwa and be with the people who are pious. If you remember a few minutes ago, I was saying, sometimes the husband says, you know, I want to follow the deen, but my wife and my kids are not supporting me. Why? Because I let them mingle with the wrong crowd. I was the one who provided them this wrong opportunity that the kids or my wife with the wrong women and my kids with the wrong environment. And then, after, now when the, because the spiritual diseases are contagious. Hadith of Rasulullah, forget the human beings, animals. Rasulullah says, if you are in the company of the camels, the people who, you know, who run the camels, they become arrogant. Just being in the company of the camels makes you arrogant. It makes arrogance. That's why he said, if you will be in the company of the goats, it will make you humble. That's the reason the hadith tells us, مَا مِنْ نَبِيٍّ. There was not a prophet, إِلَّا كَانَ رَعِيَ الْغَنَمِ.
that he was a shepherd, because the sheep being in the company of the goat will make you humble and soft. Imagine human beings. Even the animals have effect on us. That is the reason Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibited us that don't put the dogs inside the house. Because what? Because animals have effects on us. Allowed the cats, did not allow the dogs. The one who put the dog, every day one qirat of his ajr is depleted from his account. فَقِيلَ مَنِ الْقِرَاتُ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. What is the qirat? He said, qirat is جَبْلِ أُحْرِ. This much amount of good deeds are deleted from this person's account who keeps the dog in his house. Unless if he is putting outside the house for safety, that might be allowed. Or for hunting, that's a different case. But inside the house is what the hadith tells us. Because the effects of the dog will come on you. Every animal has effect. So imagine if you're in the wrong company of the humans, what will happen? So the third thing which the Muslim says is the environment. So because if I took my wife in the wrong environment, and I put my kids in the wrong environment, so what do you expect? So my dear respected brothers, you know, these are the few things which we need to make sure that we need to change our lives, especially when this issue of the kids is something which I never thought about. This is up in my mind that we talked about it. So make sure that first of all, the first place of effort is ourselves. I need to make sure, because in Arabic we have an expression which says, فَقْدُ الشَّيْدَ. I don't have it, I cannot give. I have no connection of Allah, I cannot give it to my kids or to my wife or anybody else. So first I need to make an effort on myself also. Then also with my wife and kids. Second thing, make sure that you take your wife and children in the right environment. If there is any, you know, bayan for the ladies, in the time of Rasulullah, in one of the houses of Ansar, the bayan used to take place for the ladies only. And Rasulullah used to come and give the bayan over there, just for the ladies. So make an environment for the ladies, that they learn the deen from these kind of gatherings. And make sure that they, make sure you choose a house which is not very extravagant. Find a simple house. Otherwise, I remember once, you know, one person, you know, there was, he was, you know, with due respect to all the rich people who have big houses, one, you know, we took one, we put Taliban in somebody's house, which is a big house. So the wife, when she came from back, she said, you know, I will do tabligh if you give me a house like this. Generally, with tabligh zero. So my dear respected brothers, your example is not the people who are living in these kind of environments. Your example is Rasulullah. Look into the life of Rasulullah. How Rasulullah used to live. لَقَدْ كَارَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةُ الْحَسَنَةِ. He's saying, Allah is saying that he's an example for you. And in our hadith he says, from all the times, it's like the time span, from the time of Adam alayhi salam to the day of judgment. Allah chose that time span, 141 years ago, He chose that time span for Rasulullah. So to say that because of that time he was living in poverty, that's why he was forced to live like this. This is against what the hadith is saying. Hadith is saying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose that life, chose that time span for Rasulullah. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Rasulullah, I said, make these mountains gold. No, Ya Rasulullah. No, Allah, no, no, no. أَجْوعُ يَوْمًا وَأَشْبَعُ يَوْمًا. I'm hungry one day, and in the food one day. I have the food and I'm hungry. Both the things. So my dear respected brothers, second thing, take your wife and children. Put them in environment. Make your in a member they learn the deen. In a simple house that they learn the deen from. Where the ta'aleem takes place and somebody comes and gives talks to them. Second thing. Third thing is the environment. Make sure we don't hang out with the wrong crowd. I want to hang out with these people because it will give me business or because that will destroy your wife and children. Hang out only with the wise people. Hang out with those people who
Ibn Hajar Asqalani speaks in this hadith, he says, who you should be with? Number one
is those people who have less means than you,
so you will be grateful in the things which you have. Take your children to the houses of those people who have less means than you. Your children will be grateful. If you will take them to the mansions, they will become ungrateful to you. They will tell you, aapne hamare se kya kiya? Baap, maa, mar gaye khidmat kar karke, aage sala bevadi se jaan kehti hai ki hum aapne hamare kya kiya? Isi waste, do not take them to these kind of places. Take them to someone who is more humble, so that they can understand they should be grateful that they have these. You have these things, they don't even have these things. Take them to your country where you came from, and don't go and stay in big posh hotels over there. Let them live them in a regular environment. I know one of my friends, actually friends came to the Muslim. He said, when I go to Allah, you know, I always check in. But then he goes, how did I put anything here? I said, why you don't go and stay with your parents? And then you want the WC Pasadiyanta, WC, you know. I stay in hotel and I visit, me and my family, we stay in the hotel and we go and visit my parents once a day sometimes. Shabash. Go and stay with them so that they can see the great things which Allah has blessed you and blessed me and all of us. So the second thing is, my dear brothers, I was saying the third thing, environment is very important. So for the ladies, this kind of amal should take place in this place. And the third thing is this, which I was mentioning, be in the right company. I was saying the hadith. The first is, Ibn Hajar says, look at the people who have less means, you be with them. And the second thing, who are more pious than you, who are more piety than you, you meet with them. If you will meet with the people who are less pious, let's say you make Jum'ah, let's say you make 5 times Salat, or you make 2 times Salat, this person makes only the Eid. So what your wife will give you, say, oh, yes, sir. Or I'm better, you know, if you are doing so, yet, aap itna musalman ka nahi kiya karte, wo hai na, Jum'ah sab saal bhi padta hai, aap kya, you are extremist, this is what she will say. Why you want to be so Muslim? He's making every Friday, he's making the Jalab only once a week Friday. Why you go to the Muslim 5 times a day? You are an extremist, is what she would say. Extremists are not an extremist, is what the Quran Hadith tells us. Taking care of the relatives, this is extremism. Taking care of the parents, this is extremism. If your neighbor is hungry and you have food, then your salat and amal are not accepted. Is this extremism? This is what Islam teaches. So my dear respected brothers, so be careful. Don't take wrong decisions. So for this reason, be in the environment of pious people. This is what I was mentioning, the hadith. Iska khayal rakhna. Sometimes, you know, people go in the path of Allah. Take out some time. Go in the path of Allah. Second thing, give some time to the masjid on a daily basis. Sometime be in the environment of the masjid. Al-masjid al-baytu kulli taqiyyin. It is the house of every pious man. Al-masajid majalis al-anbiya. The masajid are the majalis of the prophets. Al-nasu fi masajidihim. Wallahu fi qadai hawaijihim. People are in the masjid and Allah is taking care of their affairs. Al-mu'min fi al-masjid. Kassamaka fi al-ma. والمنافق في المسجد كالطير في القفص. مؤمن مسجد من مؤمن المسجد كالسمكة في الماء لا يفيش الوشن. والمنافق في المسجد المنافق في المسجد كالطير في القفص. It's like a bird in a cage. Or because of the social pressure he had to come to the masjid, so he came, but he wants to leave immediately. As soon as he gets an opportunity, he leaves. So that's why we stay some time in the masjid. Who Allah is, Allah introduces himself. He says, Allahu nuru samawati wa rab. Mathalu nuri ka mishkat fiha misbah. Al misbah fi zujaja. Al zujaja ka anna kawkab al durri yuqad min shajarat al mubaraka. Zaytunat la sharqiyyah wa la arabiyyah. Kaad zaytuha yudhi. Wa law lam tamsasuna nurun ala nur. الله يؤمن من يشاء ويضرب الله الأمثال للناس والله بكل شيء عليم. He speaks about the noor. Then he goes on to say how to get this noor. One of the reasons is في بيوت أذن الله. When you will be in the houses of Allah. في بيوت أذن الله أن ترفع. When you will be in the masjid. أذن الله أن ترفع ويذكر فيها اسمه يسبح له فيها بالغدوب والآصال. In which Allah is remembered in the morning, in the evening, you will be in this masjid, in the house of Allah. So my dear respected brothers, these are the few things which I wanted to mention. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for all of us, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the means that what will be good, inshallah, we follow it and deliver it to others, inshallah. ربنا ربنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. ربنا أكرمنا ربنا واغفر لنا إنك على كل شيء قدير. اللهم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وبلغت ذنوبنا علينا السواد. نستغفرك يا الله أن تغفر جميع ذنوبنا ما قدمنا وما أخرنا وما أسررنا وما أسررنا وما تعلم به منا وأنت المقدم وأنت المؤخر لا إله إلا أنت. اللهم اهدنا واهد بنا واجعلنا سببا لمن اهتدى. اللهم اهد قلوبنا من النفاق ولساننا من الكذب وعيننا من الخيانة. إنك تعلم خائنة الأعين وما تخفي الصدور. اللهم يا ذا الحمد الشديد نسألك أن تغفر جميع ذنوبنا واغفر وارحم وتجاوز عما تعلم إنك أنت الأعز الأكرم. اللهم يا مطلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك ويا مصرف القلوب صرف قلوبنا على طاعتك. اللهم اكفنا بحلالك عن حرامك وأغنا بفضلك عن سواك. اللهم ربنا أحبنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما. ربي أوصيني أن أشكر بنعمتك التي أنعمت علي وعلى والدي وأن أعمل صالحا ترضاه وأصلح لي في ذريتي إني تبت إليك وإني من المسلمين. اللهم اجعلني وبني أن نعبد الأصنام. اللهم اجعلني وبني أن نعبد الأصنام. اللهم اجعلني وبني أن نعبد الأصنام. يا الله شكرا ومعافى. اللهم اغفر لنا وتغفر لنا سيئات وحسنات سيئات. يا الله بسم الله يا رب لا شكر لك من توفي نصيف الله. ربنا ظلمنا انفسنا وان لم تغفر لنا فانما نكون من الخاسرين. صلى الله وسلم على محمد وعلى اله وصحبه اجمعين برحمتك يا ارحم الراحمين.
On behalf of the Islamic Society Trust, EC, and the whole community, JazakAllah Ustaz for coming. And alhamdulillah, we try to have these programs every month. So the next program, inshallah, February 21st, is the interfaith program. Same time, Friday night here, inshallah. And we'll give you more information as that comes. So JazakAllah Ustaz. And I think there's a nikah. There's a group that's here for nikah. I'm going to turn the mic over to Imam Saab. And once we're done with that, please join us for dinner outside. Sisters, your dinner's upstairs, inshallah. So give us about 5 minutes after the nikah, we'll have dinner. Please stay seated, inshallah.